Hi, gang. Bob Bolding here for the Mystery Project and the newest installment of Clean Sweep by Elf Silver. The Marsden household has been shocked by Ben's questionable conviction for bootlegging, but Bonnie is determined to keep things on an even keel. What she doesn't know is that another country is about to be heard from. Cross the Mercy is the title of Clean Sweep for today, starring Deborah Allen and Richard Donat as Bonnie and Ben Marsden.
Hello, Billy. Glad you got my message.
Hi, Jack. Hey, what's with the hurricane lamp? Can't afford a flashlight?
But you didn't get all my message yet. COD, kid. Glad to see you were wearing your seatbelt.
Oh, it's just me, my name is Barry. Lord, I didn't even see the bus come in. It's so misty out there.
Not just out there. Are you all right?
Oh, just that's an old song by your dad's cousin, and it made me kind of foolish.
Dad's cousin?
Oh, just something your father likes to say. You see, your great-great-grandfather, Harold Marston, immigrated from the capital of Ireland. Jerry Marston of Jerry and the Pacemakers was born in the capital of Ireland and still lives there, so...
Dublin?
Liverpool. Not Liverpool, Nova Scotia. It's an old English joke, because there were so many Irish dock workers and cleaning ladies in Liverpool. So you've probably got cleaning ladies on both sides of the family.
You're a lot more than a cleaning lady, Mom.
So was everybody that ever scrubbed floors for a living. Did you get a chance to see your father?
Yeah. I was in for visiting hours yesterday. I told him since I was coming home for a few days, you could drive in to see him on the weekend, because I'll be here for Melissa. He said since he was getting out in 4 days anyway, you shouldn't bother. I don't think he meant it.
4 days. It's been the longest 6 weeks of my life, Darcy. And I've had it easy.
I wouldn't say easy.
Did you hear about Billy Vickers?
Who?
Billy Vickers. He's the poor kid who, well, not a kid, about your age.
Yeah, a kid.
Last night, way back on Bullard's Road, his old beater of a car caught fire.
Oh, yeah, there was something in the paper. Poor guy.
They've talked about it a few times on the radio, too, but never said much. Funny. Bob Smiley was reading the news. It's kind of... sound you can hear in somebody's voice or the way they're saying something. He knew he wasn't telling us the whole story. The police weren't giving him the whole story.
Mom, I know whenever something funny happens in Member 2 County, you've always got to get out your microfine glass and your deerstalker hat, but I think you've got enough to worry about right now besides some car accident that doesn't have anything to do with us.
But it does have something to do with us. Or Billy Vickers did.
How's that?
The reason the federal excise agents came after your father, you didn't think they'd go to all that trouble just to catch somebody with a pint of moonshine in his barn.
I wondered.
Billy Vickers was the gopher at a grow house that got busted. He really didn't want to go to jail. So when the police read him out a list of names they'd heard vague rumors about, he told them anything he thought they'd want to hear. One of the names happened to be Ben Marsden.
Jesus.
No, he wasn't on the list. But some of the names besides your father's that Billy said were big-time criminals, too.
Oh, you and Dad don't exactly live the lifestyle of big-time criminals. Couldn't the police figure that out?
Oh, Corporal Qualchuk could. But the hotshot federal agents from away thought it just meant your father was a really cagey big-time criminal. Some of the other names, your father said they really are gangsters.
How would Dad know?
Ah, you know your father. Just a big, dumb country boy that picks up every little piece of information that drops within half a mile of him and puts it in his pocket. There was one name on the list that made your father go all chilly. I'd say Billy Vickers would be safer off in jail.
Who was that?
It took me a while to remember, because I'd never heard the name before. Or since. Jack Burton.
I'll have apple and cheese for you in a minute.
Picked up the mail on the way from the school bus.
Oh, I forgot.
There's a letter for you from some credit union in Alberta.
Alberta?
Here, I'll finish that up. Did you have a decent day at school?
Teacher made me take a time out for beating up George Sterling at recess.
Why'd you beat up George Sterling?
He said, "Sissy, molesty, her daddy is a jailbird." What's a jailbird?
It's just a stupid name for somebody who made a mistake and has to take a long time out. Here you go.
Thank you, Darcy.
Mom, what is this?
It's this credit union in Alberta. They're offering me a job in their loans department. $43,000 a year.
$43,000?
Plus benefits.
Oh, Mom!
What's happening?
Something good, honey. They want me to call them back collect, so first thing Monday.
You could still call them today. It's 4 hours different.
Oh, I'm too surprised today. You should never try talking business until you've had a chance to calm down. They say they'll even fly me out for an interview. But if they're already talking salary range...
Sounds like they're pretty serious.
I don't know anybody in Alberta.
Except Moyle.
Moyle wouldn't. It's more like something you would do.
Well, sure as hell wasn't me.
Is Moyle coming home?
No, honey, but home might be coming to him.
Alberta.
So I called Moyle anyway. After the rates went down, he said he wouldn't know the Wild Rose Credit Union from a hole in the ground. But he said he'd try to set up his days off for when I'm out there for the interview. And he'll get an extra plane ticket so you can come with me. And I guess he's got a lot of frequent flyer points.
You got no idea how these people in Alberta might have heard of you?
Not a clue in the world. I thought maybe it was Rose Coffin. She must have dealt with financial institutions all across the country when she was straightening out her divorce.
And she owes you.
Well, anyway, when I went round to ask her this morning, she didn't know what I was talking about. I don't want to be looking gift horses in the mouth, but I sure would like to know.
What do the kids think about us maybe packing up and moving to Alberta?
Oh, Moyle and Darcy and Robbie are all old enough to pretty much have their own lives now. And Melissa's young enough to adjust.
I guess.
I got Melissa a birthday present from you.
Oh?
Back before computer chips, it would have been something out of James Bond, but now it's just a $10 kid's toy. A pen with a little hidden microphone and some kind of tiny tape recorder inside it. She should have a lot of fun with it.
What color is it?
Why?
So I won't say, "What's that?" about the present I got her.
It's mostly purple plastic with a little bit of red and neon green.
Should be able to spot it.
Did you hear what happened to Billy Vickers?
You mean about his accident?
You don't think it was an accident?
I don't know anything more about it than what they said on the news. But it isn't hard to set a car on fire. And it don't leave much evidence. You remember when we heard some of the other names Billy Vickers was talking about, and I said the kid'd be better off staying in jail?
It wasn't some of the other names. It was only one. Jack Burton.
You don't have to shout it. I should have known better to think you'd only remember him dimly.
Who is he?
He's just a guy that runs a little body shop in Bedford, and probably a few other businesses you don't find in the yellow pages. I only met him the once. He scared the bejesus out of me.
Out of you? What'd he do?
Nothing. He was just one of a bunch of guys I was sitting around having a beer with in the city.
Then how did he scare the...
Bonnie, when you play around the edges of the law, you'll run into a lot of stupid guys and a few smart guys and some tough guys and some crazy guys. But every now and then you'll run across a guy who's smart and tough and crazy. All you can do with a guy like that is stay the hell away from him and hope he gets caught or shot before he runs over somebody you care about. Billy Victor should have known that.
He was just a scared kid with the police twisting him around like a rubber doll.
There's no excuses. I made a mistake, and I'm paying for it. Billy Victor's made a mistake, and he paid for it. Only he made a bigger mistake, and that's all there is to it.
You don't mean that.
I do. It's a different world, Bonnie, with different rules. I've been living in that world for almost 6 weeks now, and it's not a world we want to have anything to do with. People like Corporal Kowalczyk get paid good money to deal with it for us. Okay?
Okay. Corporal Kowalczyk.
Huh?
He's from out west. He must know people in Alberta. Wouldn't be the first time he tried to help us out. And maybe he feels bad about...
Yeah, maybe he does. Well...
Next time I see you, it'll be outside.
Yeah. Take care till then.
And it wouldn't be the first time you did us a favor without advertising.
Bonnie, I did grow up on the prairies, and most of my family's still there, but, Winnipeg is 800 miles from Calgary. The only people I know in Alberta are other officers who took their training when I did and got posted there.
Oh, I guess I just did a, you're from Toronto, you must know my cousin George.
More or less. Well, I'm very happy for your new job and all.
It's not for certain yet.
But I don't know what the superintendent is going to say when I start solving half as many crimes as I used to.
I doubt that. But speaking of crimes, I've heard some people say they don't think Billy Vickers' car catching on fire was an accident.
An old beater like that? Could have been engine wiring, a leaky gas tank.
But you don't think so?
What I think and what I can prove aren't always the same thing.
So Jack Burton gets away with it.
Who?
Just a name people mentioned. People like Billy Vickers.
Forget you ever heard it.
So you do know about Jack Burton?
Enough to know that if you've come within a mile of him, you've come too close. Leave it alone. We'll catch him for something eventually.
After he's burned alive, how many other kids?
And maybe a few curious middle-aged ladies with kids of their own. I'm serious, Bonnie. If my detachment is the one to eventually put together a case against Jack Burton, I'll be sleeping with a shotgun beside my bed.
I hear you.
Good. What's Ben going to do in Alberta?
We haven't had much chance to talk about it. He's getting out on Tuesday.
That's good.
But he'll have a lot better chance of finding work out there. All he's been able to find around here since he got laid off is odd jobs.
Uh-huh.
To meeting you, Bonnie, once your travel arrangements have been made.
I'm looking forward to it, too, Sam. Would you mind me asking you, though, who sent you my resume?
Oh, a gentleman in Halifax who does a lot of business out here. Bert Jackson.
Bert Jackson?
I assumed he was someone you knew.
Probably. I just can't place him at the moment. Anyway, I'll call you back as soon as I know what day next week. Bye now.
Wow. He didn't jump up and down and scream or anything.
I haven't even arranged the flight yet, much less signed any employment agreement. Then I'll jump up and down and scream. Bert Jackson. Bert Jackson. Jack Burton.
Burton's Body Shop. We're all busy working, so leave a message.
And Mr. Burton, this is Bonnie Marston. I think there's something I should thank you for.
Melissa's harder to get to bed than I was.
Don't bet on it.
Getting easier as I get older.
Darcy?
Oh, well, not that easy.
Hello?
Bonnie Marsden.
Mr. Burton. Or is it Mr. Jackson?
Somebody's confused him. There's no Mr. Jackson works here.
Oh, maybe I'm confused about some things, but I'm dead sure it was you who got my resume out to Alberta. I just don't know how or why.
I don't much like telephones. I'll be back. passing through Member 2 County tomorrow night. You could meet me at the dead end of McWiggins Road at 9 o'clock. You know where?
Yeah, used to be McWiggins Sawmill. But Ben's getting out tomorrow.
I won't interrupt your party for long. If you don't show, you don't show. I've got other business to take care of. But no more phone calls.
Mom, isn't Jack Burton the name you said gave Dad the chills?
Your father doesn't have to know about it till it's over. Jack Burton doesn't have any reason to get antsy around a middle-aged, hip cleaning lady. The RCMP couldn't catch him. Federal excise couldn't catch him. What's going to catch him is a $10 purple plastic kid's toy. I hope. Ben?
Hey.
Ben.
Let's go home.
I thought you might want to wait a few minutes before I fired up the car.
Oh?
I put a can of beer and some ice in the trunk.
Right out here in the parking lot?
I brought a sleeve so nobody will know it isn't just ginger ale.
Huh. 2 months ago, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. Oh, damn, that tastes good. Look at all that sky. You want to zip?
Sure.
You know, there was no point in me in saying anything about it while I was in there. Just worry. Now as it's over, people bitch about prisoners getting cheap cigarettes and free cable TV and all that good stuff when they're supposed to be being punished. Maybe it does make a difference to some guys, but to me, it don't matter how many color TVs they put in there. There's still locks on their doors, and I ain't got a key.
I dropped Darcy off at her apartment on the way in. I asked if she wanted to come along and we'd drop her on the way out, but she said we probably wouldn't need any extra company just now.
Smart girl.
But she wanted you to be sure and call her at work when we get home, so she'll know you're out for sure and there wasn't some last-minute screw-up.
Say, don't we have to hurry back to meet Melissa's school bus?
Oh, she's going to Cindy's after school. I told her we'd pick her up for supper.
That was good to think. Oh, how's she like a birthday present? You know, the pen with the tape recorder, microchip.
She loves it. It only records about 10 or 15 seconds at a go, but it's amazing how accurate it sounds. I have to take it away when she goes to bed or she'll be up talking to herself all night.
Well, that beer's a dead pumpkin. An hour home, and I can have one more.
Oh, I'm afraid I'll have to scoot into the village tonight for a few minutes around 9 o'clock. I got a call from a possible new customer who works evenings.
Huh.
It seems kind of foolish when a week from now I might be out of the house cleaning business for good, but... Oh, I left your cousin in the tape deck.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Cousin Jerry.
Bonnie Marston.
So you're Jack Burton, or Bert Jackson.
Yeah. I heard you're pretty good at sussing things out. Bert Jackson's got his own phone line. No connection to Burton's body shop. It ain't good to talk about things over the phone. But out here, I can say anything I want. I know you're not wearing a wire.
How would you know that?
I know you're cozy with Corporal Kowalczuk. So I sussed out if there'd been any requisition for a wire out of the Member 2 County Detachment. Don't ask me how.
I won't. But how did you get my resume?
That was easy. I know some people and know some people, and it wasn't hard to figure out some places that have your resume on file.
But why?
Your husband's a stand-up guy, Bonnie Marston. All Ben had to do was mention a few names, and he wouldn't have pulled time for that chicken shit charge. If the Crown had even a little bit of backup for what they heard from that little shit...
Billy Vickers.
That's right. Would have been a lot harder for my lawyers to say the case was a joke. So, I owed Ben one. And, well, I figured you and Ben were bound to talk from time to time, and you've got a terrible reputation for being nosy.
So you figured on helping us out of town?
There's nothing like doing good by doing good. I wouldn't have wanted Ben's wife to become a problem.
When I go out to Alberta for the interview, they're going to expect me to know at least something about Bert Jackson.
Tell him he's your second cousin or something. He's in the auto business, too. Imports cars from out west where they don't salt the roads. Jackson's Auto Auctions.
I'll just write that on my hand. You know, you've been a mother too long when you start stealing your kids' school pens. Well, I guess Alberta's going to feel safer than Nova Scotia. You killed the little shit, didn't you?
Billy Vickers? Oh, I flambéed the little bastard. What'd you just do?
Nothing, I just...
Give me the pen.
No, it's...
Give me the pen or I'll rip your hand off and... Oh! Oh!
Oh, Ben!
Yeah. Oh. With something like that, you don't hit for a single or even extra bases. Swing straight for the outfield fence.
Where did you come from?
Out of the woods. Old Darcy told me. That's why she wanted me to be sure and call her at work. What's on the pen?
What?
If that little tape recorder didn't get enough evidence to put Jack Burton in jail and keep him there... He's going to be walking around knowing. You tried to put him away and I clocked him with a baseball bat. He knows where we live.
Billy Vickers? Oh, I flambéed the little bastard. What'd you just do?
Bonnie, you're still the craziest damn woman I ever seen. But I'd say you got the son of a bitch.
O'clock in the morning.
Oh, are you? Guess my body's so happy to be out of that damn cage, it doesn't want me to close my eyes and miss anything.
That isn't it, is it?
No. Alberta. I wondered when to say anything or what to say. It all sounded so selfish. But I'm not just being selfish. I've been thinking about you and the kids, too, and other people.
Other people?
You haven't had much time the last few days to think about things, and I've had nothing to do but sit around and think about things.
And whack psycho murderers with baseball bats.
Yeah, well, that wasn't... We got a home here, Bonnie. My great-grandfather left the capital of Ireland because he couldn't survive there. The only way we could survive here was to go on welfare something. I'd say we should move to Alberta or Timbuktu or anywhere we can make a living. But fact is, we're managing to get by.
There's got to be more than just getting by, Ben.
There is. There's this run-down old bungalow that you and me bust our butts turning into a decent house for kids to grow up in. There's the garden that was nothing but couch grass when we moved in. And now we're still sending Darcy and Robbie home with bags of carrots and potatoes whenever they come for a visit. There's the people you run into in a hardware store who know who you are and you know who they are, but nobody messes in anybody else's business unless there's trouble. There's a lot more than just getting by.
Well, you're right that I haven't had time to stop and think about anything.
But if taking this job is important to you, Bonnie, I'll start packing up our things tomorrow. I know it can't be much fun for you cleaning other people's toilets after all those years of arranging mortgages and loans and pretty much running the credit union.
Dan, why did you just spend 6 weeks in jail instead of us taking out a loan to pay the fine?
You know that, Bonnie. If we started carrying the loan on top of everything else, next thing you know, we're missing the mortgage payment here and there, and the next thing the bank's taking this place away from us, and where are we going to go?
If you can spend 6 weeks in a cage so we can keep on living the way we've been, the least I can do is pass up a chance to dress in business clothes again.
But you'd be passing up a secure job.
There isn't anything secure anymore, Ben. Almost.
You've been listening to the latest installment of Clean Sweep by L. Silver, who is this year's winner of the Thomas H. Waddell Award for Fiction. Today's episode was titled Cross the Mercy. In the cast, you heard Deborah Allen as Bonnie, Richard Donat as Ben, Genevieve Steele as Darcy, Ashley Swain as Melissa, Mike Pellerin as Corporal Kowalczyk, Joseph Wynn as Billy Vickers, John K. Leverin as Jack Burton, and Alex Duncan as Sam. Special technical advice on secret recording pens, courtesy of Kyle Hatcher. The original music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac, and was performed by Gordon Stovey, Jamie Gatti, and Andre Lacroix, together with the two composers. Special guest artist J.P. Cormier on banjo and fiddle. The recording engineer was Pat Martin, with sound effects by Dermot Kenny. The associate producer was Peggy Hemsworth. Casting by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. Clean Sweep is produced and directed in CBC Radio's Halifax Production Center by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Bolving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments.